All right, Matthew 28. We'll get there in just a moment. I see y'all been doing a lot of work on Roger. He's already got that bass guitar look. Face. Stone face. Never play poker with a bass guitarist. They have all of them have the best poker faces in the world. Thank you, Roger, and everybody. Guys, good job. I know some people think we just, or I, just throw stuff together and hope it works. But all of this is working to a point. It's culminating. We started back in February and talking about Matthew 28 and talking about discipleship, making disciples. And ask this question. This is what I want to start with today, because I had a seminary professor ask us this one day, and it just hit me right between the eyes. He said, guys, if you aren't making disciples, then what are you doing? And he waited. He goes, no, that's not rhetorical. I'm waiting. And we're like, we don't know. He goes, how many people have you discipled in the last 6 months? How many people have you discipled in the last year? How many people have you discipled this? And he just kept going. He goes, well, then what are you doing? He goes, you're going into ministry. He goes, but it doesn't stop there. He goes, all of your people should be making disciples, but you're the lead in it. He said, so if you aren't making disciples, then you're just going through the motions as a Christian. And that hit me very hard. And when we talk about that, so we ask that question to us, if we aren't making disciples back in February, then what are we doing? And so we began this process of defining what a disciple is and then what a disciple looks like, especially the people on the outside. You know, a disciple is a worshiper and all those things. Then narrowed it down to this last series on what does a disciple do? And so we've looked at some of that about, first of all, disciples make mistakes because we're human. We understand that element to it. But then we've been trekking through that a disciple serves, a disciple sacrifices. A disciple does all those things. Why would we do all those things? Because the point is to make more disciples. And so we end this part of the year with this. When we're looking, there were three parts to this on what a disciple is. And a disciple makes more disciples. Remember, a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ, not somebody who comes to church. A disciple isn't somebody who just comes to church on Sunday. A disciple is someone who follows Jesus. And the Bible says that if you are a disciple, you will make more disciples. And it's pretty clear about that. So what we'll do is look at this today. Then in the summer months, we're going to look at some disciples. And actually, you know, not just the apostles, but some followers of Jesus in June and July. Then we come back in August and we start, which is going to segue from what we're talking about today, disciples make more disciples. Then we get into discipleship on how we do that, what discipleship looks like. Remember, if you go back to February, and I know you do, I know you're take very good notes, or you rewatch all these sermons online, I know, to put yourself to sleep at night. I understand all that. But if you remember all the way back, we talked about this. Jesus, these weren't his last words. And we also want to, let me take a brief aside. Just if Jesus said it, it's important. We've got the Great Commandment, but we label this the Great Commission, but Jesus commissioned us in a lot of things. So we can't go, well, this one, you know, the most important commission. Jesus gave us a lot of commissions, okay? We want to take, all of them should be important to us. But people label this the Great Commission because mainly it was at the end of, before he ascended into heaven. It's not the last words he said, more than likely. Probably Acts 1:8 as he ascended up. But Jesus here in Matthew 28, he's up on this mountaintop, and it's one of the last things he charged his disciples with. We talked about this, that we put a lot of weight on people's last words and people's last month or so. If somebody doesn't have much time to live, they're going to talk to you about what's important. They may say son or daughter, however they say it. This is what you need to know. This will help you in life. They're not going to waste a lot of time talking about who's going to win the NASCAR race on Sunday. They're going to focus on what's important. So as Jesus is about to leave his disciples, he tells them this passage here. And which goes back to what we say, if we're not making disciples, then what are we doing? Then the 11 disciples or apostles went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Now, most scholars, I'll tell you all the time, I'm not quoting myself, obviously. I'm not saying I'm a scholar, but most of the people I talk to, most people I read say there were obviously other people around. Some people say up to 500 on this mountain. Because at this point, the disciples, and you got to piece it together that, you know, I know there was that Thomas said, I got to touch the hand and all that. But at this point, the apostles, the 11, they didn't have an issue with their doubts. They believed. But some doubted. You say, well, why is that important? The important part is this, because some people say, well, he was only talking to the 11. No, Jesus was talking to all the people there, which means it's for us. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, remember we talked about this now, we don't want to confuse this because the English translation to Greek is hard for us. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. There's only one command in this, and that is make disciples. Go, you know, if I told you to go, hey, go, get out of here. That would be a command. But it actually in the Greek is rendered, in your going, as you go, make disciples. So it doesn't necessarily mean to go that you have to go to Guatemala or Indonesia or anywhere like that. It means as you go to work, as you go to school, as you go to Guatemala, as you do those things, make disciples of all nations. Baptizing is not a command in here. It is, again, a participle. And you say, well, that's why is that important? Because baptism is not tied to salvation. If you go to Acts 2:38, or if you go to Mark 16:16, and some people use the poor reading of the KJV to say that it's tied to salvation, it's not. Jesus didn't say that you have to do that to be a disciple. That's a participle phrase in here. The only command is to make disciples. The baptizing comes as a part of it. We baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Despite what some people say that is in the Bible, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always until the very ends of the age. Now, for those of you that have been here any amount of time, you know I don't alliterate very well. I just don't try to do that because sometimes it don't fit. I don't know what night this hit me, and I thought, wow, that's a great alliteration sermon. So I got three things I want to share with you today about this, because we've looked at it before, but it's three different things that why we struggle with this. Why are we not making disciples? Because I think we can look around at all of us and say, we're not making disciples. And it's not just Danville Baptists. We struggle with that, not just in the Southern Baptist churches. We struggle with that in churches. We might invite people to church. We might even tell someone about Jesus, but it's more to that than making disciples. We are not very good at making disciples. So the question is, why are we not? What is preventing us from making disciples? So the first thing is I want us to look at is that word authority. All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Jesus is standing there with these people, and he's telling them, hey, before I tell you what you're about to do, all the authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. In other words, God the Father has entrusted all authority with me. So if you don't think that I have the authority to tell you this, then you need to understand that I do have the authority to tell you this. I don't know if it's always been like this. I'm 43 years old. I imagine it's not been as bad as it is now, because when I was a child, it wasn't this bad. But people just question authority now. In fact, that's what you do. People, you'll see it on Twitter, Facebook. Anybody that just does what their boss tells them to do or what their coach tells them to do without questioning them is just not right. And I'm thinking, where did we get off of this? Now, don't get me wrong. Just because you're a boss or leader at work or because you're a coach or because you're a teacher does not make you perfect, does not make you infallible, does not mean that your word is always right. But there is this concept that we have to question everything. And I don't know when it seeped into the American society, but it wasn't that bad when I was a child. I know that if you got in trouble in school, there wasn't any question over who was right. It's the teacher. But that's not the way anymore. We question everything. All of you know, or most of you know, that Lori's a teacher. Things have shifted now. The reason we don't paddle kids anymore is because of crazy parents. I mean, let's just be honest. I say, no, it's 2019. We shouldn't be whipping kids with a board. I don't know if that's right or not. The reason they don't paddle is because moms say, you can't paddle my child. And I don't know when that come into effect, whether you think corporal punishment's right or wrong. I know the Bible says spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm not saying they should be abused. But I know one thing. When we got paddlings, we didn't have as many crazy things happen at school. And so I'm just telling you, I'm just being up front. And we'll say, well, you know, because the last thing you wanted was your parent to come to school. So you're like, please paddle me. Please don't call my dad. Please don't call my mom. Because then you're getting two. But now we're in a society where parents tell teachers, I didn't make my kid do that because I didn't think it was right. You give them an extra assignment or you punishment, and I told them they didn't have to do it because I didn't think that was right. It doesn't matter what you think is right. The teacher is the authority figure. Well, you know, I just didn't think you should be doing that. You shouldn't be practicing that way. So I told my child, we're just not going to come to practice today. You did that once when I was in school, and you're like, okay, just turn the uniform in. And there's this questioning of everything. Questioning people at work. You people that own businesses know that. Or you're high up at your business. They want to question everything. And they say, well, who gives you the right to say that? I write your check. That gives me the right. That's what I've told you this before. I had a job, one of my million jobs, and one day the guy was griping about what the boss kept telling us to do. I was like, you know what? The dude writes our checks. He goes, what does that matter? I was like, do you want one on Friday? And he goes, well, yeah. I was like, well, do what he says. Well, I just don't. I was like, well, go find another guy that'll write you a check then. And maybe he'll let you do whatever you want. I was like, but as long as his name is at the bottom of our check, then we got to do what he says. And he goes, well, you know, he just kept on. I was like, look, I'm through talking to you. I didn't use this word, but I said, he's the authority. He's the boss. He has the authority to tell us what to do. Understand this, that there are two mindsets. If you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, then what you're saying is Jesus doesn't have the authority to tell me what to do. That's fine if you're not a follower of Jesus. But if you are a follower of Jesus, he has the authority to tell you what to do. When you say, I trust in you, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins, will you forgive me of my sins, will you come into my life, will you be Lord and Savior of my life, then you're saying you have the authority to change me, make me who you want me to be, and you have the authority to tell me whatever I need to know. And so Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. You see, when we have problems at school and work, a lot of times it's an authority issue because we don't understand that Jesus is saying, I've got the authority, and then here's what you ought to be doing. After the authority, there's an assignment. That's two A's. Aren't you proud? Therefore, here's what he said, make disciples. Not go, not baptize. Those are a part of it. He says, make disciples. Now, sometimes at work, sometimes at school, we might even understand that there is an authority figure. There's an owner, there's a boss, there's a teacher, there's a coach. We might get that. But then sometimes the assignment may not be clear. Right? Sometimes we get an assignment and we're like, I don't really understand that. That can cause problems. I remember when I was at, I graduated by the skin of my teeth from the University of Alabama. And 20 years ago, actually, I just thought of that. It'd be 20 years ago this December. I was taking a class one summer at Athens just because I didn't want to be down there. So I was taking a class. It was when I was in education before I got kicked out. And I thought I did well, you know. I did all the assignments. I'm not knocking education, but a lot of education classes is a lot of busy work, I'll just be honest. And so I did all the busy work. I didn't study for the midterm or the final. I didn't have to. I'd knocked out all the busy work. And so I made, I don't know what I made, probably a 50 or 60 on the midterm. Wasn't very good. But I had hundreds on everything else. So I calculated. I was pretty devious. I always figured out what I needed and what I didn't need. So I was like, oh, I can make this on a final. I'm good. So I remember turning in the final, and the guy graded it, something atrocious. And he goes, you aware of what just happened, Mr. Bailey? I'm like, yeah, I passed with a 81 for the semester. And he goes, nah, it doesn't work like that. I was like, yeah, right here's all my grades, all my grades. He goes, you didn't obviously read the syllabus. I'm like, who does that? Who reads the syllabus? He goes, you should have. And I was like, why would I need to read the syllabus? I made an 81. You can just write it down. I'm out of here. Have a good life. He goes, no, seriously. He goes, in order to pass this class, you had to have a 75 average on the midterm and the final. I said, what'd you give all the other assignments for then? I said, why don't we just take a midterm and final and go home? He said, well, I mean, you had to do that too to learn something. I said, I didn't learn anything. I'll just be honest now that you're going to do this to me. I was like, I didn't learn anything on those assignments. I just did them. I said, but I made an 81. That's not fair, not right. He goes, I don't care if you think it's fair or not. It's in the syllabus. I said, why would you put something that stupid in the syllabus? Why wouldn't you tell us that? And he didn't really have an answer. At this point, I'm kind of mad, and then he's getting madder at me. And make a long story short, I thought he would have mercy on me. He claimed to be a Christian. He didn't have any mercy. He failed me. That was $1,200 that I could have just thrown out the window. And, you know, I failed that class with an 81 average. I still to this day think it's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. But he had the authority to do it, okay? He had the authority to do it, and he gave me the assignment. I just didn't pay any attention to it. All right, understand this. That's not going to be an excuse for us when we stand before Jesus one day. It's not going to be, we're not going to be able to stand before him and go, I didn't know I wasn't supposed to make disciples. It's pretty clear. I mean, he lays it out for us. He's like, look, I've got the authority to do it. Here's your assignment. Notice what he doesn't say. He doesn't say, complain. Complain about the church. He doesn't say, complain about the ushers. Complain about the music. Ah, the music's too loud. Complain about the preacher. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hey, if you don't like the way church is run, complain and then make disciples. He doesn't say any of that. He doesn't say, hey, it's about you. He doesn't say, hey, come to church when you want to, and as you do that, make some disciples. No, doesn't say that. He doesn't say, hey, you don't ever have to read your Bible or you don't have to pray, but just make some disciples. No, he says make disciples. The assignment is to make disciples, which connotates there's some work in it. The word make means that we've got to do our part. God does the work. Trust me when I say that. He's the one that regenerates hearts. We can't do that. But making disciples, there's a concept, there's a component of evangelism and discipleship that comes into it. We tell people about Jesus. We share the gospel. We share the good news. But then at the end, we'll see the teaching part is that we actually teach them what's in the Bible. It's work. In other words, making things take work. Some of you are very gifted with your hands. You can make anything. I can't. I just can't. You can give me 2x4s, 4x4s. You can give me whatever you want and tell me to make something, and I'm not going to make it because I can't. I mean, I might. It's going to fall apart. Some of you are gifted at disciple making. It comes natural to you, but a lot of us aren't. We have to work at it. We have to be conscious about telling people about Jesus. We have to constantly stay in his word and ask God to help us. We have to work at saying, hey, this guy needs to be a disciple, or she needs to be a disciple. But there is an assignment that Jesus has given us. And when we stand before him one day, we're not going to be able to say, I didn't read a syllabus. Because if you've got a copy of God's word, there is no excuse. And if you've been here, you understand that God has given us this assignment. But then there's one more. There's an authority, there's an assignment, but then there's also an assurance. Jesus said, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very ends of this age. Now, everybody learns differently. And understand that. If you've taken education classes, you understand that. Some people are auditory learners. They learn by hearing. Some people are visual learners. Some people are kinesthetic, which means they got to be doing something. Some people are a combination. They like, in other words, some of people like PowerPoints up here because they learn by that. Some people can just learn by hearing me speak. Everybody's different. But one of the things that when you work with children, and when you coach like Lori does, and when you teach that children or students, however you want to say it, they don't do well when you just tell them something to do and leave them to fend for themselves. In other words, since Lori's a softball coach, she can't just go out there and tell the outfield, hey, I need y'all to be pretty good outfielders next year. Go get it done. No. They're like, well, can you stay with us and help us? Can you teach me how you want us to do this? Can you teach me how you want me to do that? Can you do this? And also, Lori teaches language. She can't go up to first year to her sixth grade and go, hey, guys, I don't even know what they do, to be honest. She can't go up and go, hey, I'm going to teach you how to diagram sentences, or we're going to diagram sentences by the end of the year. Okay? Y'all good with that? Everybody, we're going to diagram sentences? And we've got 185 days. Y'all figure it out and get back with me. I'm going to go to the break room down here, and I'll check in a year. They're going to be like, what? No, they're going to want her to actually stay with them and help her with that. Here's what Jesus says, look, all authority has been given to me by God the Father. Here's what you're to do. You're to make disciples, which requires work, by the way. It's going to take some work. You're going to have to stay in touch with me. You're going to stay dialed in. You're going to have to be in the Word. You're going to have to be praying. You're going to have to ask God to give you providential, you know, meetings with people. You're actually going to have to teach people. You're going to be persecuted. All these things. It's going to take work. But don't worry. I'm going to stay with you the whole time. In other words, this fear that you have, that I just don't know if I can teach people. That's okay. I'm going to be with you. This fear that we have, what if I share the gospel with them and they reject me and reject Jesus? And Jesus said, that's okay. I'm going to be with you. I'm not going to leave you. I'm not just going to throw you to the wolves. He says, surely I am with you until the very ends of the age. Fish, if you don't mind, same scripture. Get that up in the message for me, 28:16-20. I want to show them that in here in just a moment. And this will, it kind of helps us bring it all into sense a little bit better. So here's... Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Think about that. Some people go, I'm not sure about that. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism. See, he actually translated that correctly. In the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day, right up till the end of the age. And I thought that kind of made it come home a little bit more to us. Jesus said, I'm going to be with you day after day as you do this. Now, any of you that have children or grandchildren know that you can't just give them instructions and turn them loose. I mean, when they get to a certain age, you can. The first time your child cooks, you can't go, hey, you want to go scramble some eggs? That seems to be what most kids learn on, fry some eggs. Go figure it out. They'll probably burn themselves and the house down in the process. Now, we kind of stay with them until they learn how to do things. Jesus said, look, this isn't easy. Jesus never promised us making disciples was easy, but he commanded us to do it. And he said, I'm going to be with you. Now, Let's go back to the original question. If you aren't making disciples, then what are you doing? If you understand that Jesus has the authority, if you are a child of God, remember that verse that Kepis just put up, and some people thought about it because they didn't know if they wanted to give up everything. Maybe that's you. Maybe you're not a child of God. I don't know. But if you are a child of God, you've already said, Lord Jesus, I lay everything at your feet. It's yours. He said, if you've done that, then here's what you are to do. You're to make disciples. And I promise you, I won't leave you. Now, when we get to the point where we understand the importance of that, where we understand the importance of this commission that Jesus has given us, then all of this changes. All of this changes. And it's not that we just show up for Sunday morning and go home. It's not that we just don't think about anything during the week. It's that we become one big giant family doing this together. And then more people are added to the family. Now, I don't even know if I should tell this story, but I don't think it's too inappropriate. It's kind of funny. I won't tell who I learned it from. They are here today. We joke about it at our house now because I learned it from this family. But anytime we do a picture, we always say, in-laws on the end, because we don't know when we're going to clip you out. Okay? I learned that from somebody. I think it's funny, but it's kind of appropriate. It's kind of appropriate. We're like, and we pick it at even Laura and Lexi's fiancés now. We're like, hey, guys, y'all stand on the end because y'all may not be here in 5 years. And that way, Big Mama, it's not any hard work. She can clip y'all out, and then we still got our picture. But honestly, our family's growing, and we're blessed. Look, Mom and Dad are still with us. I know everybody doesn't have that. They're the matriarch and patriarch. But Hannah's family's growing because they're older. And so we add people to our family. When we bring them in, it's not like, hey, they're not part of our family. Yeah, they're still part of our, they are a part of our family. And we do, you know, that's what we, you know, I always tell people, hey, we're crazy, okay? Just as crazy as everybody else, just because me and Granddaddy preach. I mean, we're all crazy. So don't come in here thinking we're perfect, okay? That's the way it's got to be here, that when we bring somebody in, it's that, hey, they're with us. They're our family. We're going to disciple them. We're going to teach them. When we have young children growing up or somebody marries in the family, we'll tell them the tricks of the trade. We'll tell them stuff like, hey, you don't want to do this, don't want to do that. You know, make sure you brag on certain people's cookings. Make sure you don't wear this. Make sure you do that. Make sure you do all this stuff. And that'll make life a lot easier. Okay? When we tell people about Jesus, then the Bible says to instruct them and everything. That's when we say, hey, this is why we tithe. This is why we give. This is why we do ministry. This is why we do missions. This is why we do all this. And then all the other stuff comes with it. When we have a problem in a family, we don't go, you know what, you're not my family anymore. That's not what we do. We just walk through it together. I was talking about somebody about that this morning here. We want this to be that when we share Jesus with people, we love people, we instruct them. But this ought to be a place where we come for healing, that we come together as a family every Sunday morning, and hopefully Sunday night, Wednesday night one day, that all of us think, man, I got to be there because my family's going to be there. And that's what we want to get to. So that's why we moved to discipleship. Because remember, and I'm done, discipleship is only saying that somebody is a little bit ahead of me. That's what they taught me in seminary. Because everybody can still be discipled. You think, well, you're the pastor. I still get discipled. I still call Dad regularly. I still call Dr. Rob Jackson regularly. And there's some other people that I call. I talk to Brother Teddy. I talk to a lot of preachers that are ahead of me. They've been doing it longer than me. They've been walking with Jesus longer than me. And so I call them, and they walk me through stuff. So all it's saying is, hey, this person may be a little bit ahead of me, so I'm going to let them instruct me and teach me, and then I'm going to do it to the next generation or the next person. And then when we get embedded in this together, we grow together. And that's what we want. That's our goal here, is to make disciples. Would you stand, please? Bow your head and close your eyes. Brother Dave's going to come. He's going to play something or sing something. If you're visiting with us, this is what we always tell you, that if you want to sing, you go right ahead. You sing with Brother Dave. If you're the type person that maybe doesn't sing, then you start praying. Start praying right now. Start praying for lost people to trust in Jesus today. Start praying for this church. We need an awakening. We need a reviving. Start praying for yourself that you would start making disciples, because I think we can all answer the question like this, that we're not making disciples, at least not effectively. So here's what I want the invitation to be today. First of all, that if you're here and you've never trusted in Jesus, the Bible says that today is the day of salvation. If you have never repented of your sins and said, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me, a sinner, then you need to get that right today. If you're here and you have done that, and maybe you've struggled with authority, maybe you have not given in to Jesus, maybe you said you've trusted in him, but you're just kind of holding back, and you thought, Lord Jesus, I just need to get that right today. Maybe you understand that Jesus is the authority. Maybe you've somehow confused the assignment and just for all these years thinking, I just didn't realize that if I'm not making disciples, then I'm being disobedient. And maybe you're just scared. Maybe there's some part of you that's holding back out of fear. And then you understand that we have assurance that Jesus said, I'll be with you day after day after day. Now, if God's spoken to you in any way today, don't be disobedient. You get it right. If that means coming to the altar, if that means speaking to me, if that means praying where you're at, you get it right today. As Brother Dave plays, and if you want to sing, you sing.